God's word can do amazing things in your life. God's word brings light into different situations. It's God's word that opened up the way for the Israelites to go through the Red Sea. His word, it's that what protected Jesus from temptation. Every time a temptation came, one word the Holy Spirit would bring. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. End of matter. No further discussion. Another temptation. You shall worship only the Lord your God. Get behind me, Satan. Finished. How quickly temptation went away from Jesus? There was no struggling, because he just quoted a scripture. The exact scripture that the Holy Spirit brought to his mind, because he had this habit of listening. He knew when to go to Jerusalem, when not to go, when to do a miracle and when not to do a miracle. I think of that pool in Bethesda where Jesus walked in John chapter 5. It says a multitude of sick people were lying there. What is a multitude? 5? 10? Can you call 10 people a multitude? No. Multitude means maybe 200 people were there. And Jesus listened to the Father. And you see that man there, sitting there all by himself in the corner. Go and ask him if he wants to get well. He says, I've been 38 years. Nope, I can't get into the pool. Father says, heal him. He healed him. What about all the other 199 people sitting there? Just go home now. God has a plan. Some people say Jesus healed everybody who was sick. It's absolute lie. They haven't read the Bible. Sometimes he did it because he was prompted by that. Think of that lame man who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple whom Peter healed. For 3 years, Jesus saw him every time he went by. He'd ask for money and Jesus would give him money. Next day he would ask for money, Jesus would give him money. Next year he came and Jesus would give him money. Because always the Father said, don't heal him. I'm going to heal him 3 years later, and when he gets healed by Peter, 5,000 people will get converted. If you heal him now, you'll hinder that revival then. Do you know sometimes a good work can hinder God's work? Let me give you a clear example. If the prodigal son was living next door to your compound and he was eating what the pigs are eating, I'm sure you'd feed him so well that he'd never go back to his father's house. Would you have accomplished God's purpose? When a man is being disciplined by God, sometimes a person in the church has to be disciplined. And people go and say, oh, Brother Zach is so hard. I think I'll be compassionate towards him and go and visit him and encourage him. You'll make sure he never comes back to God. There are foolish believers who go by what their eyes see and their ears hear. And you think you're more spiritual and more loving than the elders. Aha. Just humble yourself and say, they have a little more wisdom than you. They don't lack love, but they have grace plus truth. So listening to God is a wonderful thing. And I believe, I want to close with this, John chapter 5. John 15. See, the other advantage of studying God's word is that you'll always have a word to give to other people when they come to visit you in the home, or when you have a chance to share the word. If you keep on listening. And judging yourself in the light of God's word, judging yourself. God makes even the things that happen in your life to work for your good. I had this cough and a cold which got a bit aggravated because I had to speak for 9 hours in the last 3 days of the conference. But I said, Lord, I have no complaint. Are you going to teach me something through this? Sure, I'm always seeking to learn. Sometimes it's not a great spiritual truth, like I get tossed from a scooter and I say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? He says, drive slowly. So it's not always a great spiritual truth, but it's a practical truth. But sometimes it's a spiritual truth. And what I'm sharing with you today was when I was sitting there and listening to God, say, Lord, what shall I share today? And He gave me this word. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. That means you have listened and listened and listened, and you haven't thrown them away. Abide means you keep them. Like the precious things you get, don't throw them away. If you have lost a word that God gave you some time ago, then I'll tell you what, you must have treated it like old newspapers. Do you collect old newspapers in your house? Or garbage? You throw it away. If you got a word today and you lost it by tomorrow, clear sign, you treated God's word like garbage. Because you don't keep garbage even for one day, you throw it out. You have to face it. I treated God's word like garbage. He gave me a word and I've completely forgotten it. Dear brothers, value the word God gives you. If my words abide in you, not that they come and go. The opposite of abiding is visiting. You visit a house or you abide in a house. I abide in my house, but I visit other houses. Don't let God's word visit you, even this morning. Let it abide in you. That's why I always say it's better to have a few words abiding in us than lots of words visiting us and going away. If my words abide in you and you abide in me, you can ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. You know, some people ask me, Brother Zach, it doesn't seem to always work. Jesus said fantastic things like, ask in my name and you'll get it and it'll always be done. Why can't you pray for this seriously sick person and heal him immediately? I'll give you an answer to that. If Jesus was here, even if this was a leper or dead, Jesus could raise him from the dead. He didn't really raise everybody from the dead, but Jesus could do it. I remember visiting a home in one of our churches in Tamil Nadu where there was this girl who was 10 or 12 years curled up from birth, you know, some problem with their mind and brain and body that couldn't do anything. He was a brother in our church and his body was all curled up, this daughter of theirs, and said, he called me home and said, can you come and pray for my daughter? I said, okay. And I went to his house and I saw this girl. I had zero faith to raise that child up to normal. And I told him, I said, if Jesus were here, he would touch that child or speak a word and this child would get up, even if it is like curled up, retarded for 13 years, jump about and walk normally. But I want to be honest. I do not have the faith of Jesus Christ. I can only live at the level of my faith. Jesus could sign a check for $1 million, million rupees. Maybe I can sign a check for 15 rupees. Let's be humble and not claim, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to do this. Don't be deceived by all these Pentecostal preachers and healers. They don't have much faith either. Some of them don't even have 15 rupees, I'll tell you. They have loud words. Don't be deceived by them. Some people who don't make such loud claims actually have more in their faith account than some of those people. That's why I never go to them. But Jesus' life was such that Roman centurion knew that. You know, in Rome, Matthew 8, he said, Lord, I know that if you speak one word standing here 5 kilometers away, my servant will be healed. How? Because he said, that's how it happens to me. I'm a centurion with 100 soldiers under me. I always listen to my captain. He says, centurion, come here. I drop what I'm doing and I go. And therefore, when I tell this soldier, come here, he comes. When I say, now go, he goes. Because I submit to my senior officer in the same way. And the military is like that. And he looked at Jesus and he got a sense, you know, military people can recognize one another. And he said, gee, I don't know which army you belong to, but I sense a military thing about you. You've got some authority over you. See, most Christians, I've got no authority over them. And you can see it. But this military man recognizes, I don't know which authority this is, but you're under some authority. I know you have such tremendous power. Because he had heard about what Jesus was doing in other places. He said, this is impossible. Nobody can do it unless he's under some terrific authority. And so I know that, if I were to paraphrase his words, you are so submissive to whoever is the authority over you. He didn't know about God the Father or any such thing. But some authority you're listening to. And I know from my experience that one who submits so completely to that authority will have authority over others. That's why the Bible says in James 5, the prayer of a righteous man avails much. Why is that? Why not the prayer of all believers? Don't we think that James 5 should say, the prayer of all believers in Jesus' name, it'll work. It won't. Let's be realistic. A lot of your prayers in Jesus' name, nothing has happened. A lot of my prayers in Jesus' name, nothing has happened. But I know that when Jesus prayed, it was always, always. He said, I know, Father, you always hear me. There was never one failure. And the closer we get to that, we will see more and more God answering our prayer. But that will be in the sense that the closer we get to God, we will not be asking for such a lot of worldly things like a lot of people. You know, most people, when they say, in Jesus' name, I want this, it is some earthly thing. It's either health or wealth. They say, we don't believe in the health, wealth gospel, but that's what they're seeking all the time when they pray. But Jesus was not saying, in the Father's name, I'll get health or I'll get wealth. No. He wanted to do the will of his Father. And that's what every righteous man wants. And the righteous man's prayer has tremendous power. And the more righteous he is, the more authority he has. But he's still way below Jesus, who could just say like that and it was done. So he says, if my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you wish. It'll be done. Isn't it a wonderful thing to let God's word not visit us, but abide in us?